Transatlantic Exchange.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The New York Stock Exchange wants to go global. Today it proposed a merger with a European exchange called Euronext. The deal would create the first transatlantic stock market and the world's largest exchange, worth $21 billion. Euronext operates in Paris, Brussels, Amsterdam, and Lisbon. A German exchange has also made a bid for Euronext. The Nasdaq, meanwhile, is making a run at the London Stock Exchange. MasterCard is expected to go public this week and start trading on the NYSE. Alisa Roth looks at what this might mean for that old question, MasterCard or Visa?
MasterCard is planning to sell more than 60 million shares for around $40 a piece. That could raise as much as $2.8 billion, making it one of the biggest Wall Street IPOs in years. The company will likely use most of the cash it raises to buy back shares from its current stockholders. About 1,400 financial institutions currently own parts of MasterCard. David Robertson publishes the Nielsen Report, a newsletter about payment cards.
The big effect really will be on the financial institutions that issue cards. They will have a new partner. Now they will buy services from a publicly traded MasterCard, and that conceivably could change how they do business.
Robertson says that right now, banks are separate into a Visa camp and a MasterCard camp. Visa's has long had many more members. But Robertson says a publicly traded MasterCard could make it more attractive to banks and help MasterCard catch up with Visa. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Walmart's been spreading like a retail virus all over Asia. It has more than 50 stores in China now. But South Korea seems to have the Walmart antidote. Today, the company said it's bailing in South Korea and selling all 16 of its stores to a local retail chain. Walmart says it couldn't figure out how to make money there. Motorola is supposed to release a new cell phone this week, one with lots of bells and whistles. It should catch the attention of the folks who make a certain device named after a tart little fruit. Here's Lisa Napoli.
BlackBerry is on top of the PDA market with 5 million users and $2 billion in sales last year alone. But now there could be trouble on the horizon. The long-anticipated Motorola Q phone made in conjunction with Microsoft. David Saccone of Mobility Today says the new Q comes loaded with
picture and messaging, camera, high-speed internet, a lot more than the BlackBerry really right now.
Mike Dano of RCR Wireless News says the Q, if it's priced right, could grow the market for PDAs.
These kind of smartphones, right now they're a very small part of the overall cell phone market.
After all, 1 billion plain old cell phones were sold around the world last year. I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Wall Street tries to rebound from a horrible few days. Sure, there was a little bounce on Friday, but the Dow had its worst week in 4 months, losing more than 2%. The Nasdaq did about the same. The S&P 500 dropped a couple percent also for the week. The Da Vinci Code raked in $224 million worldwide in its first weekend. That's the second best global debut after Star Wars Episode III. You're listening to Marketplace. Downloading TV shows from the web is gaining in popularity, and advertisers are catching on. From the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
Just over 2 weeks ago, ABC made four of its TV shows available on the web. The network's parent, Disney, says viewers have watched those videos about 3 million times since then. The service is free, but before the opening credits roll, viewers watch a 10-second ad from the show's sponsor. Jonah Bloom is editor at Advertising Age. He says commercials on these webisodes have some benefits over traditional TV spots.
I certainly think there is an aspect of the advertiser being able to kind of play in a space that the consumer is entirely happy with, and maybe that they're not going to skip the advertising.
Bloom says web advertising revenue is on target to climb 30% this year, while TV ad sales will likely slide or remain flat. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
The Dow lost several hundred points last week, and the major reason was new signs of inflation. Signs of inflation likely mean more interest rate hikes. The Fed's already raised short-term rates 16 times in a row. Newsweek's Alan Sloan joins us now. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Scott.
Why exactly are higher interest rates such a wet blanket on the stock market?
The theory is that high interest rates are bad for stock prices for two reasons. One is that they make bonds and money market funds and things like that more attractive relative to stocks than they are when rates are low. The second thing involves a piece of economic theory, which is if you look at a dollar of profits somewhere in the future and you try to figure out what it's worth today, the higher interest rates are, the lower today's value of a dollar of earnings.
Obviously, when you look at the economy overall, one of the major areas where higher interest rates have such an impact is housing.
Clearly, it's going to be a drag because the whole game in the housing market is what's my monthly payment? And if your monthly payment is higher, you can afford less house. Logic would suggest that if you're paying more for on your mortgage, you're spending less on other things, especially since rising interest rates generally hurt the value of housing and hurt the ability to borrow out your equity, which has kept the economy afloat. So higher interest rates are going to hurt the economy by slowing down the spending of people who are taking money out of their houses.
There have to be some beneficial effects of having higher interest rates, right? What are they?
Sure. Well, there's one beneficial effect for me, which is money market yields have really gone up. About a year ago, the average money market fund was returning something like 0.5%, you know, which is not a lot of money. And now it's returning somewhat more than 4%. The second thing is, if you think that the value of the dollar matters, which I happen to think, higher interest rates on dollar investments make the dollar stronger relative to other currencies than it would otherwise be.
So last week we talked about how great the Dow was doing, and then in the next few days it lost several hundred points. So do we need to print a retraction on the radio?
Last week I violated one of my prime commandments, which is never talk about stock prices because it's easy to be wrong and it's easy to look like an idiot.
No jinxes. All right. All right, Alan, thanks.
My pleasure, Scott.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. He'll be back next week with another edition of the Sloan Sessions. Your thoughts are always welcome. Just head over to our website, marketplace.org, and send us an email. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Next time on Marketplace.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.